Today we're thinking about Jesus, the shepherd, the Lord, my shepherd. And the verse that jumps out and I'm using as my text for today is verse 11 from that passage. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So today we're continuing our series thinking about the different names of Jesus, of God, of Jehovah. And today we're thinking about Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H, which is the Lord my shepherd. Which comes, of course, from two Hebrew words, Jehovah, meaning the existing one, and Ra, which means to pasture, tender, or graze. This indicates that God is not just a righteous judge and the almighty creator, but that also God is the caring shepherd who watches over and tends to his sheep, providing for their needs, protecting them from danger, leading them in the right path. Jehovah Ra is a name that resonates comfort and security, especially in times of uncertainty and turmoil. And there is plenty of that in the world today, which is why we need to focus on God, the shepherd. I don't know whether this has ever happened to you, but have you ever been on a journey and you've got lost? Maybe once or twice, yes? Maybe even walking around Stanground, or Whittlesea, or Yaxley, or wherever you live, or Hampton. You can think, oh, I'm just heading down this way, and you're looking for a road, and it's disappeared. Yes? We've had it, yeah? If you're driving somewhere, we tend to rely on sat navs or Google Maps or something similar today. I have noticed occasionally that it said to me, I've reached my destination and I'm in the middle of a field or down a dead end. Yeah, anybody else had that exciting pleasure? Yes, yeah, at least twice because I put the wrong postcode in, but never mind. Well, what about if you're in a crowd, if you're out with people and there's a lovely crowded situation and they say, I'll just meet you over there by that particular pillar or that coloured flag or something similar like that. And you go and stand by there and there you're looking for them. Or they've waited there and you've gone off to the loo or to get a drink or something like that, and you come back and you say, I know, I'll come back in this door, I'll come this way, I'll turn this way, and then they'll be there, and you do that, and they're not there, because it's the wrong way, yeah? Yeah? Anybody? You all? Yeah? Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? And then suddenly you hear, hello, I'm over here, hello! Isn't that reassuring? Isn't that reassuring to hear that voice that you know? When Jenny and I had the luxury of being on holiday this year and we were in Germany and we were following our hobby, as you know, of looking at railways, both model and the real ones, and we were out travelling on the Harz mountain system one day and we were doing the second day of the branch, and we'd been down a long branch line, had our lunch and came back. And at this point we were about 7 days into the holiday and we'd never heard an English accent. Everybody was speaking English, well, most people were speaking English, but we hadn't heard an English accent. And we were on our way back on the rail car to halfway up the line, and then we're going to pick up the steam train. And these people got on at the next station, and they went to the machine on the diesel unit to try and get their tickets for the Harz Mountain Railway System, but they couldn't. And they came up to the front of the train where the driver was sat, in his little closed-off cab, and we happened to be out the front because I wanted to look out and see where the line was going. And they said to us, do you speak English? And they were from up north somewhere, I forget where they were. But wasn't it lovely to hear an English voice? And they were relieved because they hadn't, they were a pair of them, two men, and they were travelling around Germany on motorbikes. They were doing a huge motorbike tour. And they hadn't heard English accent for ages either. They really loved the fact that we actually had English. We had a wonderful conversation and we were able to help them work out what was happening. Listening to a voice that you recognise is very important. God as a shepherd knows our voices. I'm told that shepherds and animals will recognise each other's voices. The reason I know this is when I was growing up as a teenager, yes, I did grow up as a teenager once, so way, way, way long ago, when I was in Coulston in Surrey, the minister, John Bowne, told us this story. And for some reason, I remember this story. I don't remember much of what ministers say, but I do remember this bit. He said to us that he and his brother had a farm. And when he was starting off his ministerial training, he went for a few weeks to be on the farm with his brother and prepare himself. And the animals got used to John's voice. And they would follow him. I don't know whether they were sheep or cows or whatever. I don't know what animals. And then John went off to college and did his start of his training to be a Methodist minister. And when he came back, he went back to be with his brother. And he said, oh, it's all right, I'll come and help you. I think actually it were cows now, thinking about it. And said, I'll go and get the cows in for milking. You know, you have an extra 10 minutes in bed. So John went out and started to call the cows in, however farmers call cows, oi, come here, or whatever they say. And the cows did nothing. And John was really, really, really frustrated. He couldn't work it out. He said, well, hang on, a few weeks ago, before I started my training, they were all right. They would follow me. They would come to me. But now they won't. And his brother obviously twigged what had happened and went out and helped him. And he said to him, well, yeah, it's because you've been away and they've forgotten your voice. And they won't come to somebody they don't recognise. Picking out the right voice. This was a phrase that Jesus and God as a shepherd that is well known. It is well known in the Eastern world. It was used throughout the Bible. If you think about right through from the beginning of time, how many times and stories there are that relate around shepherds, sheep, farming. There's lots. I've only picked out a few, otherwise we'd be here all day. There was Moses. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And then he saw the burning bush. And God spoke to him in a different way that changed his life forever. David, a young boy, looking after the family sheep. And his father says to him, or take some food to your brothers. They're out on the front line fighting the Philistines. David does what he's told. David wasn't expecting to go and fight Goliath, the big giant. But he did, didn't he? David went on with God's help, took on Goliath and beat him, and then went on to be a king and write many of the Psalms. And there's many more. I won't go on. Otherwise, like I say, we'll be here all day. The word shepherd is mentioned around 120 times in the Bible. And the word shepherding is mentioned around 160 times in the Old Testament alone. No, I didn't count them. I looked them up. But it shows how important shepherd is. Think about this passage that we've looked at today and Jesus and therefore God as the shepherd. In verse 11, the one that I use as my text for today, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is one of the seven I am statements that John records in his gospel. There are seven of them. They're very powerful, very interesting. God Jehovah Ra, the shepherd. The shepherd looks out for people. But let's look at this verse, this verse in a bit more detail. Jesus starts off by saying, He is good. This could lead on to another exciting question in another sermon, so don't worry, we won't go too far down this road. But how do you define good? Is it someone who gives us everything we want, who never tells us off, who always sings our praises, and only ever tells us things we want to hear? No. No, it is not. The Greek word, which I looked up, is apparently kalos. Somebody might tell me that's the wrong pronunciation. If I've got it wrong, I apologise. Which translated means good. And that describes, translated into English means good. But which describes a person that is noble, wholesome, good and beautiful. Well, that gets most of us, doesn't it? But notice that that definition doesn't actually say anything about what they do for us. That they don't tell us always what we want to hear. A good person will tell us things we want to hear, and a good person will tell us things we don't want to hear. But that's for our own good. Jesus, of course, was good. He'd committed no sin. There is no dispute on that. He always had time for people, even if he was physically tired. Jesus answered people's questions, but not always in the way that they expected him to. Jesus wasn't afraid of conflict, but all the time he kept his focus on the mission from God, his Father. His mission to tell people the truth about God, to lead them to God. He is the Good Shepherd, the shepherd that people followed. A good shepherd also protects their flock. In verse 12, Jesus says that only the hired hand will run away. They will run away when danger arrives. But the good shepherd is prepared to protect his sheep and lay down his life for them. Again, if we go back to David and Goliath, you remember when David was having a discussion with Saul about whether he was suitable to go and fight Goliath. That David said, well, hang on. When I've been looking after the flock, I've actually protected them by killing the lions, by killing the wolves, the foxes, whatever wild animals it was. So this little chap called Goliath is about 20 feet tall. He's no bother to me at all. God protected David in that situation. God, as he looks after us, protects us. Yes, he will put us in situations that we don't like. Yes, he will put us in situations that take us out of our comfort zone. But he only puts us in situations that he knows we can cope with. But we have to learn to listen to God as our guide. Which brings us to the next part, doesn't it, of the shepherd. They're a guide for the flock. They will guide their flock to safe pastures, to where the water is. They will look out for them. Remember, particularly at that time in Israel, the shepherds were nomads. They'd be wandering around. They'd guide their flock from one place to another. When they finished, the flock had finished eating and drinking what was good in that area, they would move on to the next area so that that area had time to recover. They knew the area. They knew where the safe areas were. They'd look out for each other. The same as the shepherds led their flock to safe places, so God leads us to safe places as a good shepherd. And while the shepherd is looking after their flock, they will also look out for those who are in need in the flock. You think of a flock of sheep, They will look out for any that have been hurt, any that are in struggling, and they will go to them and they will try and help them. They will make sure that the younger ones don't wander off too far, and they will also guide them away from areas that are danger. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet Isaiah said this: He, God, tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That was Isaiah's image from God. What a wonderful image of us, for us today, isn't it? That God tends his flock. He gathers his lambs together in his arms and carries them close to his heart. God is carrying us close to his heart. Isn't that amazing and wonderful? And the final part of the verse 11, the text that we're using, says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The ultimate price someone is paying to protect others. That's exactly what God allowed his one and only son to do for us 2,000 years ago. He allowed his son, who was perfect, to die on the cross for us, for each one of us. He took away all our sins. Jesus gave up his earthly life. But then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. He overcame the power of sin, raised him to be with him, with God, sitting at his right hand, giving us the key to eternal life. The Good Shepherd showing us the ultimate way. So what does this mean for us here today at Stanground? What can we take away from this as Jehovah Ra? I'll offer these thoughts to you. That God is our shepherd. Our shepherd is good. He's our protector. He's our guide. He's our teacher. And he laid down his life for us. We as believers in God, having let the Holy Spirit come and enter our lives, are here to act as shepherds to those around us, to share our knowledge of God, to guide people through their lives, to guide them when they need support, help, comfort. But we also need to do something that people can sometimes find hard. That's to listen for God's voice. In today's society, it is not cool, it is not hip, it is not expected that people will stay still and be quiet for a long time. But that is what we need to do. I personally struggle with this. The idea of being still and quiet is not something that comes easy to me. But that is how we're going to listen and find out what God wants us to do. I come back to something I've said many, many times. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. The theory is that we do twice as much listening as we do talking. Theory. I find it hard to put into practice. But if we want to be a shepherd to those around us, to help those around us grow in the knowledge and love of God, we have to listen to God. That means making time daily to be with him through reading your daily Bible reading notes, either on your book or on your app or on your computer, it doesn't matter. Spend your time with God. trying to be quiet and listening to God. Then if you think you've got a message from God, which could come through either directly into your head, through something you've read, through a Christian song, through something that somebody says to you, test it out. See if it's right. If God's asking you to do something, if you don't listen first time, he'll try a second time. If you don't listen a second time, he'll try a third time. He'll keep going. He doesn't stop count at four. He keeps going and going and going if you have got something to do. God is our shepherd, Jehovah Ra. A good shepherd leads his flock in the best place. God is leading you. God is leading me in the place that he needs us to be. I hope and pray that this week Jehovah Ra will speak to each one of us and show us what he needs to do so that we, as his shepherds here on earth, can do his will, share his love, and help those around us grow in knowledge and love of God. Amen. Let's pray. Jehovah Ra, we thank you that you are our shepherd, that you do guide us in the paths of righteousness, that you do set out the best way for each one of us to live our lives. And I ask, Lord, that you will help each one of us to tune our minds, our thoughts, and our ears to your Holy Spirit, so that each one of us may be your Good Shepherd representative here on earth, in this place, so that we can share your love, your goodness, your Holy Spirit with those around us. Thank you, Lord, that we are in your flock, and you are Jehovah Ra for us. Amen.